What a day that's going to be. I hope you're looking forward to that day. And when Jesus comes, you just got to be ready. The only way we're going to be ready is to be saved in the blood of Jesus Christ and to know that we are a child of His. And God has written our name down in glory, and we will have everlasting life through being saved for the blood of the Lamb. We want you to turn to a few verses. I'm just going to give you the intro verses, but you can turn to Ephesians chapter 2 if you like. And we have been talking about a few lessons on considering your ways. And this is the third lesson, one of my favorites. And just for intro, we talked about in Haggai chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And he was talking to the people of there in the land. They were still in captivity, but they had a lot of people that were still in the promised land, just under a different ruling government. And he told them to rebuild the house of the Lord. And they put it off, and they put it off, and they put it off, and they put it off. They had time to build their own houses. They had time to get everything right in their own life, but they forgot about the things of God. And God, through the prophet, comes to him and tells his people, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Ponder on those things that I've told you to do and find out, are you actually doing them or not? This is a perfect little series that God gave us for the stewardship month, the month of January, to remind ourselves that we are stewards of God as children of God. God has placed us over His belongings, His things, His family, and we are to make the decisions that He would make if He were here. And God expects His stewards to be found faithful. To be faithful to God means that we are carrying out what His plan in our life until the end. Until He comes back and takes over all things for Himself, we should be handling things as if God was making those decisions. God wants us to consider or think about the decisions that we're making and see if we can, if we're on track or we need to get back on track. We talked about considering your ways in God's work, and are we executing God's work the way God expects? Are we doing things the way God expects in our life? Are we carrying out His work the way God wants His work carried out? If you look back in the Old Testament, every time He told somebody something to do, like whether it's Noah and building the ark, or Abraham or Moses when he was building a tabernacle, or all the things He tells us in Deuteronomy and all the books of the law about what we should do and how we should do them. And I don't know why the kids are running around this church, but we need to find a place for them soon. And we got enough women in here, we ought to be able to take care of this. And so we have people that were expected to do God's work the way God wanted it done. And they were not to stray from the plans that God gave them. They were to carry them out exactly like God said. If Noah wouldn't have built that ark exactly like God said, that wouldn't have been God's plan. It wouldn't have testified of God's salvation. Things wouldn't have went like they should have if they would not have followed His plans. God gives the work of the church today certain plans, and He expects us to follow those plans the way He wants it done, not the way we want it done. We can change our services. We can change our service times. There's things that we can do that are still within God's will, but God expects the preaching of God's word to be done. He expects people to be educated and edified in the church of God. He expects God's church to go out and reach people. Though our methods may change, God still wants us to go out and reach people. He still has a plan for His church, and He wants us to consider our ways in the work that we do for the Lord. And then we need to consider God's will in the way that we are carrying out the will of our life. We talked about that a little bit this morning, of course, again last week. Are we executing God's will the way He expects it? The will of God that God gave us to follow, He's given us a general will, special things that He wants us to do, specific things that He wants us to do. Are we following the will of God in our life? And today we're going to consider our ways in God's worship. Are we worshiping God the way he expects? There has been a movement over the past, 30, 40 years, probably since the late 80s, 90s, I think is when it first started, that has begun to change. And even today, churches are still changing to be more like a corporation than a church. They're changing to please more of the crowds, that they can have a bigger crowd, than to please God. They're changing their services to remove those things that may be harmful or unlawful or hurting or disappointing to somebody, and replacing it with, we're going to have a good time. We're going to enjoy the show. Sit back and relax. And when you leave, you're going to feel good about yourself. We are changing the plans that God's laid out on how we worship, who we worship, and why we worship. We have replaced it all so that we can be pleasers of men instead of pleasers of God. Just because we want a bigger crowd, we want a bigger building. Why? So we can go downtown or go somewhere to our brethren and say, "Look, have you seen my church? We're in our third building program. We got bills up to here. We got debt we'll never be able to pay off. But praise God, we got 1,000 people in attendance. 10,000 yesterday got saved. 20,000 got baptized. And I don't know where they're all at, but they're in there somewhere. And we have a mission. We have a label. We have shirts that match. We have a program on TV. We got it all. God has blessed us so much." And God says, I never even knew you. I don't even know who you're talking about. Their blessings are coming from somewhere, somehow, but God is not involved in it. How do I know that? Because God is specific on his plans and the way he wants things carried out. And he gives us some abilities to change some things on how we're going to do it. Like maybe we're going to have, Operation Saturation or door knocking or soul winning stuff on Saturday. Maybe you want to do it on Thursday. Maybe you want to do it on Tuesday. Maybe you want to do it all week. Maybe you want to do it so many times a week. God leaves all that up to us, but the goal is we reach souls. I mean, that's still God's plan. If we stop reaching souls, we will die as a church of God. We may still exist as a church, but it won't be a church of God if we forget about souls, if we stop trying to reach souls, if we stop trying to support missionaries that are reaching souls and that are seeing people saved. If we stop all that because we're trying to please the crowd, we're not worshiping God the way he wants us to worship him. We're not doing it his way. And God says, I want you to consider your ways in 2022 of how you worship me. We may make it through all this. We may turn this into another series. I don't know yet. But let's just go through this, see how we get. So, first of all, God has created us to worship him. I just wrote a couple of verses down. There's 1,000 verses in the scripture that teach this. But let me just give you these. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Isaiah 43:7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God has created us, and he didn't create us in some image that would not bring him glory. He didn't create us in some image that was impossible to be able to worship God. It's just that we are using the creation of God to worship mankind, to worship ourselves, to worship somebody else, but we're not doing it to worship God. He's given us a voice to preach and to teach and to sing praises unto God and to worship him. But with that same tongue, we can curse and blaspheme God and never worship him. But he created us with a voice that could worship him. He created with hands that God says are holy hands to him because he made them holy. And we can lift up our holy hands unto God and worship him. But you're saying, but my underarms stink. I cannot raise my hands. Well, just go like this then. I don't care. Just raise your hand for the glory of God. God gave you your hands to worship, or you can slap your brethren down and say, it's not right for you to park in my space outside. If I find you parking in that spot again, I'm going to slap you silly. God created us in his image to worship him, to be a workmanship that's like Christ. Why? For good works and to praise and worship our God. We got feet. Cowboy always talks about this. I don't think we're ever going to see it because I don't want him breaking his leg again. But he says, one time I get up here, I'm just going to kick my boots off and I'm going to go fly and I'm going to run the aisles for Jesus. You know, a lot of people do that. And I remember one time we were preaching, we were having a good service. And if you remember Miss Jenny, she was here for a long time. She came down here. She didn't run, but she just kind of whoop like that. She twisted her ankle and she couldn't walk for like 10 weeks. I said, okay, forget it. Don't do that. If you're not healthy enough to do that, don't do it. But God, give us feet that can worship him, hands that can worship him, a voice that can worship him, eyes that we can turn toward heaven and worship God with, ears that we can hear God's word and worship God for what he's telling us. He's created us with a mind that can worship God, with a heart that can worship God, with a soul that can worship God. But we don't. We can't. Somebody might look at me funny. They might think it's something about me. They might think I'm just putting on the act. No. You know what I do a lot of times? I just close my eyes because I don't want to see anybody but Jesus. And I don't care who's looking. I don't care what's going on behind me. I don't care what's going on in front of me. All I know is, Lord God, you're worthy of all praise and honor and glory. For you are worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive power and honor and glory. For thou hast created all things, and for your pleasure were they and are created. I just praise God. And if that's what you can do to focus on God, do that. Whatever it is, God created you to worship him. He saved you that you could worship him. He created us that we could consider our ways. Are we worshiping God the way he wants us to worship? And God not only created us to worship, but he called us to worship. One verse I wrote down is Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. I mean, it's the number one commandment. The number one commandment. And we can't even do that. The number one commandment is to worship God, and him alone should we worship. He didn't say, think about God and him alone think about. He didn't say, consider God and him alone consider. He didn't say, you can say the name of God, but make sure that you say it so that you don't offend anybody else that might be worshiping some other God besides me, because we all worship God, right? So it really doesn't matter which God it is we worship as long as we worship God. I don't see that in Scripture. God says he's a jealous God, which means he alone is worthy to receive your worship, and you should be worshiping him alone. It's a relationship between you and him and you are to worship God. We're called to worship. God wants us to worship, for thou shalt worship no other God. And so many times we can't find ourselves worshiping other things than God. You know, that's an old English word, worship. It just means worth, W-O-R-T-H, worth talking about, worship. And you're basically explaining the value of something, what it's worth. And when we go to God and worship, we're telling God how valuable he is to us. We're remembering how wonderful he is to us. We worship him. We're created to do it. We're called to do it. And I wrote this one down as I was thinking about it. The correct way to worship. Again, God has a plan of worship. He has a process of worship. We cannot just worship God any way we want. We cannot change the way we worship to make it better for you. I'm not going to have some choir or group or something up here that is not exalting God and exalting God's word and exalting God's praise and exalting God's worship and replace that with some group that you can't wait to hear and some popular band or some other thing or some other program or something else that takes Jesus and God completely out of it, that you and your flesh can start tapping your toe and start having a good time, and you leave here and your flesh is fine but your spirit is dead. I can't do that. Somebody else can do it. And if you feel you want to do that, there's plenty of places out there that will satisfy your flesh. But what I think we should be focusing on is the Spirit of God, worshiping God, the Spirit. Because God is a Spirit. We worship him in spirit and truth, not with what pleases us. I can tell you there's a lot of things in my life that I do that pleases me. Banana pudding pleases me. Pecan pie pleases me. Chocolate and ice cream with Cheetos pleases my wife. There's a lot of things that please me. But just because it pleases me doesn't mean I'm worshiping God through my ice cream. And so many church services today are just ice cream. And pecan pie and buttercream cakes and all the things that you love. And it gives you everything that you love and want. But it has nothing to do with the spirit and truth of God. And I'm amazed at the production that I've seen. I mean, the tens of thousands of dollars that have been put into the many cameras in the auditorium and the many lights and all the things that they have. I'm in awe when I see that. I think it's amazing. But if they took out the worship of God, it's all for nothing. It's all just satisfying the flesh instead of the spirit. But there is a correct way to worship. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells me. And there's people in the Bible that worship the wrong way and they lost their life over it. There are two priests, if you remember them, that offered strange fire to God. They were in the right family. They were in the right position. They were doing the right work. They're making an offering. They were doing it at the right time that God specified. The only thing they left out is the type of incense it's supposed to have been. God specifically said it has to be this. And they said, that's too much trouble. That's way on the other side of town. And people don't even like the smell of it anyway. I'm going to replace it with something easier. It's right here. People like it's pleasant. It smells good. It's like a little potpourri in your house. And they replaced it with strange fire, and they died. You know, you can be as sincere as you want about worshiping God, but if you're worshiping God the wrong way, it's still the wrong way. Cain made an offering to God in worship, and it was the wrong offering. Abel's offering was received because God said it had to be a blood sacrifice. Why? Because he's telling the world, testifying of him, that we need blood for redemption of sin. And Cain said, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm still going to give you an offering, Lord. I'm still going to give you the way you want it, Lord. It's just not going to be with the same elements that you want, Lord. It changes the entire message. When you replace the Lord's Supper from the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine with Twinkies and milk, you've changed the story. People have no idea how to get saved when they're eating Twinkies and milk. God gave us baptism and the Lord's Supper to be a testament of God's plan of salvation. and we should do it God's way. We worship God the correct way. Deuteronomy 8:19 says, "And it shall be, if thou do all at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish." I don't want to perish. I want to do it God's way. You know, I'm not saying everything that we do here is the perfect way of God, because there's other churches that do other worship, and it's just as good as our worship, though it might be a little different. The music might be a little different. The people might be a little different. What they use might be a little different. And I'm not against any of that, but what I'm saying is when we get together, the songs that we sing, the praise that we offer, the worship that we give God should be what He desires and not what we desire. It needs to please Him, not to please us. Now, I had a great time singing with the choir this morning. I love those songs. Praise God, I'm the one who gets to pick out the songs, so I sing the songs that I like. They make me feel good. I like these songs. I love hearing these songs. I like meditating on these songs. I like singing these songs. But it's not about me, it's the songs about Him. That's why I like it. We have a correct way to worship. We don't want to displease God and go our own way. You know, when the people were coming out of, it just, you know, when I see this, I can't help but just think of, you know, there's no stories in the Bible that say, well, mankind used to be like that, but it's not like that anymore. No. What they thought and what they believed and what they said is the exact same thing the human race is doing today. It's just a different time. And so you see the people of God were being, they were being beaten. They were in torment over there in Egypt. They're enslaved, and they're crying out to God day after day, month after month, year after year, and they thought God forgot about them. And then God sends Moses to deliver His people. And not only deliver them after all the plagues and everything that hell, and not only God didn't do those plagues for just the people of God, He did it for the people of Egypt. I told you that before, that when they went through that, every plague of God was against one of the gods of Egypt. And He was showing them, your gods are nothing. I'm the one that's in control. I'm the Lord God Almighty. So when He does things for His people, He's also doing it to be a testament to the world how awesome He is. And when they left, they got all the spoils of Egypt. I mean, people were just giving them jewelry and money and stuff, and they were filled to the gills. They were leaving Egypt. They were not in bondage anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. They get down to the sea, just a few couple of days journey. They get down there and they look back. They see the chariots coming. Oh, we're going to die. God's brought us out here to kill us. And God does another miracle, brings them across the sea on dry ground, by the way. They get all across. Not one little kiddo in his little bitty steps. That took too long. God waited for everybody to make it all the way across on dry ground, get it to the other side, and then He closes the waters upon the chariots. And what do people do? Rejoice and praise God. They come out with a new song, the song of Moses, and they begin to sing praises to God. You saved us, Lord. You brought us through, Lord. You did miracle after miracle, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 3 days later, they get out to the wilderness and God brought us out here to kill us. There ain't no water out here. God brings water from a rock. Ah, praise the Lord. A couple of days later, where did Moses go? Aaron, we need a God to worship. Let's make a God out of the gold that was given to us by the people of Egypt. And let's make an idol and let's worship that idol and say, that's the God that brought us out of Egypt. How stupid can you be? And yet we do the same thing every day. Oh, God, thank you for meeting my needs. Thank you for paying that bill. Thank you for healing me from cancer. Thank you, Lord, for saving my loved one from being killed. Thank you, Lord, for protecting my kids. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And the next day, we can't find one thing to worship God about. It's easy. We can gripe and complain and murmur. No, I didn't think this was going to be what you wanted, Lord, for my life. I can't believe this is going on, Lord. I thought you loved me, Lord. But why am I going through this? Why is this happening? You know, I expected, I praise God, and you know, nothing happened, but I've learned through my walk with God that when I go through a good conference like we had the last few days, that God is going to bless and take care and encourage us, but trouble is right around the corner, and I got to keep my eyes on God. Otherwise, I'll be just like everybody else, and I just had a great visit with God, a great time with God, and then on the next day, my attitude can completely change, and I'll stop worshiping God. Then you come to church, said, man, Brother Ed parked in my parking spot again, and I'm just so sick of that. And I come in here, and he's always like, oh, how you doing? He's all so happy and everything. Like nothing's bothering him, like he's Santa or something. Oh, ho, ho, have a great time. I had a great time in Jesus. I just, you know, he put a cherry on top of me and come to church. And you're thinking, man, if you knew my morning, you wouldn't even be saying that. And you won't worship God the whole time we're here. Though we're created to worship, we're called to worship. There's a correct way to worship. Matthew 15:9 says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It's easy for us to replace God's word with what we think we should be focusing on. Now, you know me, most of you. Some of y'all new, some of y'all not. I'm not the type of person that hounds on minor details of someone's life. I don't try to go around telling people what they should wear, how they should look, what they can and cannot do in their life. I leave that up to the Lord. You have a personal responsibility and your own accountability to God on how you live your life. My job is to warn you, to teach you, to proclaim God's word and tell you what God's word said, that you can listen and follow God's word and do it his way. But if you don't, you're on your own. I'm not going to judge you for it. I'm not going to say anything about it. The only time it come an issue is if it, you know, obviously changes the God's church somehow. Otherwise, I'm not going to go there. But some are so focused on the type of glasses that you have, the type of shoes that you should wear, whether women should wear hose or not. And I'm telling you stuff that's happening today. And they're focused on all those things, and they're going to preach about that every service, that they have replaced God's word with the doctrines of men. They had the right intent. You know, they wanted people to do right, but you cannot force anybody to do right. I can't force anybody to get saved, though I want the whole world to be saved. I can't force somebody to live right because it's their choice to live right. I can tell them, I can warn them, I can proclaim to them, but I can't force them. And I don't want to change the doctrines of God to the doctrines of men and say I'm worshiping God. I'm not worshiping God the right way. God created us to worship, called us to worship, gave us a correct way to worship. Let me give you these last two if I have time. I'm thinking about if I should do this, but y'all look like y'all can hang on for a few more minutes. It's not that late. It's only 10:45. Hat line. Okay. Made you feel good for a few minutes, though. I just got a couple things I want to mention real quick. I hope it's quick. It's up to you on how you take it. If you take it and believe it and understand it, we'll move on. there's a collaborative people to worship God. What does that mean? God wants you to be a participant in the worship of God, not a spectator to the worship of God. You cannot just sit back, watch everybody else worship and say, I'm worshiping God. No, you're not doing anything. You're like a spectator in a we're in playoffs right now. If you follow football or basketball, whatever, playoff times, people are going in the stands. They're spectators. They're not the ones training. They're not the ones involved. They're not the ones on the field. They're not the one, the offense is trying to go forward. The defense is trying to keep things back. They're not the ones deep involved in what's going on. All you're doing is watching them. And if you come to church to watch others worship God and you don't worship God yourself, you're a spectator on God's worship. You have to be a participant in God's worship. You have to be involved in God's worship. God wants you to worship Him, not watch other people worship Him. Now, I will give you this. When I'm in a church environment and I'm with people that love God and they're praising God and worship God, that just helps me to get in the spirit to worship God and to praise God. Because when I see Tony and he's weeping, he's loving God and he's praising God, when I see him, it gets me encouraged. And he's getting something out of it. He's listening. But if you guys are with a frown on your face and you got arms crossed and you're looking at your watches, he said he's going to be over soon. What the heck is this? You know, when you're up here, you see everybody's face. One thing I got good at a long time ago is reading body language. And I can usually tell what most people are thinking by their face. So like the Bible says, you just don't look at their faces. But it helps me when people around me and they're worshiping God and they're getting excited and I'm having a good time, they're having a good time, we're on the same side, man. We're all having a good time. But I want to be a participant in God's worship, not a spectator in God's worship. You can go to some church and you can sit in the back or in the balcony or something and you can watch everything that's going on and all you're doing is being a spectator. You're not singing the songs. You're not praising God. You're not reading His Word. You're not meditating on His Word. You're watching it on a screen and you're seeing people up in front and you're like, look at her. She didn't even know how to dance. Look at that. Look at her shaking like that. What is she up to? Who she think she is? You're not watching to you want to worship God. You're watching because you want to criticize. And God, man, you know, Tony, you just ripped my favorite pair of pants. I'm blaming it on you. I go over there one time and touch about it, and something on that chair just ripped my pants. I say, my leg hurts for some reason. I was looking at it, I scratched my leg. Looking at it, I got a big hole in my leg. Oh, man. I'm going to put a big green patch on there and put the word Tony on it. We're collaborative people to worship God. And then lastly, no, it's not lastly. I lied. Can I make it through this, Lord? Okay. There's a couple of things I just got to say about this. I mean, this is one of my favorite subjects. We might have to dive into this more later, but let's just look at this real quick. There's a continuance of worship. That means, and this is when rubber meets the road, these last couple are not the happy ones. There's a continuance of worship. That means everything in your life doesn't need to be perfect before you worship God. You're going to continue to worship God regardless of what happened to you last night, regardless of what happened last week, regardless of what happened, regardless of what's going on in your life, you're going to still worship God. There, Job, you know, he loses all his children. And you know, I can't even fathom losing one child, much less all of them at the same time. I know some of y'all has lost your children. And you know how painful it was to lose one child or maybe two children. But he lost them all at the same time. I mean, just to think about it, Cindy, you could have lost your whole family. You lost your dad, but God spared your children. But you could have lost it all. And when you lose it all, are you still going to worship God? Or are you going to get bitter and say, Lord, why did you let this happen, man? Noel was given to you, Lord. He was following you, Lord. He was involved in church. He was in every service. He gave to missions. He did everything he could. And you didn't let him live? No, he took him home and gave him a better place to live. But we could definitely get messed up over that. And it could mess up our worship. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. He lost his whole family all in the same day. He lost all his goods. And I know that was secondary to his family. He loved his family. He worshiped God and sacrificed for his family every day just in case they did something against God. He loved his children. But he lost his children. He lost his belongings, his family, his servants, his friends. He lost his own health. And he's sitting in a ashes of heap and pus running down his skin. And in so much pain, scraping it with clay pieces just to try to help break up the mucus and the pus and make him feel a little bit better. It says, though he slay me, I will trust him. Worship doesn't stop because of the troubled times we go through. It's continuous. Let me give you this last one real quick. If I have enough tissues, I'll make it through. The last one here. This is not that, you know, it's one of those you have to think about too. Costly worship. Worship will cost you. If you're going to truly worship God, it's going to cost you. In Genesis 22:5, we see the story of Abraham. Now, we're not going to go through all of it. You should know the story of Abraham. And God said, you're going to worship me by sacrificing your son to me, your only son. And Abraham could have said, I don't think so, Lord. That's my only son. You cannot take my only son. No. Abraham was going to worship God even though it was going to cost him his son. He tells the servants in Genesis 22:5, Abraham said unto the young men that were with him, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship. And I like that last part, and come again to you. Abraham knew it was going to cost him to worship God. It's always a sacrifice. If you don't sacrifice anything in your life for God, you'll never understand true worship. Because we have to worship God even though it costs us something. And he didn't know how it was going to work out. All he knew was, he believed God, and it was counted to him unto righteousness. He believed God. He didn't understand it, but he knew that Isaac was the promised son. He knew him and Sarah, really Sarah, messed up by trying to make God's will happen in their life by having Hagar, whatever her name is, Hagar, the servant come to her and to Abraham and have the son. That wasn't God's plan. They just didn't want to wait anymore. But he knew that Isaac was the promise. God said it over and over again. And yet, God is asking me to sacrifice my own son to worship him. Would we do that? Would we realize that, yes, I want to worship God, but I don't want it to cost me anything? No, you cannot really worship God until it costs you something. David, because of his sin, over 70,000 people were dying. And God says, you need to sacrifice. and worship, and then I'll stop the plague. And he could—he was a king. He could have went to anybody and said, look, give me some heifers and some place and land and go worship for me and give God whatever he wants because I need this to stop. No, David took it himself and personally worshiped God and told the servant that was willing to give his land and his heifers and everything to him, said, no, I cannot worship God unless it costs me. It says, I'm not going to do it because it's free and you're giving it to me. Thank you for offering it and giving it to me. But I must make the offering myself, and it must cost me to make this offering. David knew he was going to have to shell out his own time and his own money and his own way to worship God the way God wanted it, and it was going to cost him, but he was willing to do it because people were dying. And he was willing to make that sacrifice and worship God, though it was going to cost him. We don't understand the things that happen in our life. It's going to cost us. I'm going to speak on their behalf, but I know from a fact that you cannot be as close to God as you want to be, like Ed says he loves being, and have that type of relationship with God unless it costs you something. And I know that when you lose a loved one, it's heartbreaking, it's disappointing, it's hard for a while. But that's not our excuse to stop worshiping God. That's a reason why we should worship God. Because it costs you something. You know how awesome God is. You'll show up fired up for church. You'll show up and get involved in the singing of church. You'll love saying that verse, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That'll mean something to you because it cost you something. You lost something precious in your life. But you don't let that stop the worship. You let it enhance the worship. Psalm 67, 5 through 7 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. God wants to bless your life. God wants you to have all the blessings that you should have in your life. But unless you decide to worship God, you will not receive those blessings from God, because he's only going to give it to those people that are willing to serve him, love him, and bear the cost of it. Abraham knew what that cost was going to be, and God provided a lamb. David knew what that cost was going to be. He worshiped the Lord. The plague stayed. You continue to worship God even though you've had some difficulties and heartaches in your life, because you've seen that it's worth praising God even when it costs you something. Consider your ways when it comes to worshiping the Lord. Let's stand. I'm going to stop. Let's stand. Let's ask God to bless us this morning. There may be something on your heart that you want to come pray about. The altars are always open. Anytime you want to pray, I know that's not something that people always think about. But you can. Just not be in habit, but you can come pray anytime you want. And I encourage that because I think it's easy to stay where you're at and pray. But it's more difficult to get up out of your seat and come on the altar and pray. And that actually makes it better because it's more difficult. But that's just me. But you can pray where you're at. You can pray at the altar. Altars are always open. But this, I want you to pray about these things. So I know we have people that listen online and sermon audio and Facebook and all around the world. And I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know what things are going on in their life. But I know this. The same God I serve is the same God you serve if you're a child of God. And my God doesn't change. My God wants his people to worship him from our hearts and be thankful of all the things he's done for us, even when it may have cost us something that he didn't want to give up. But he's worthy. He's worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. He is worthy. Whatever God's speaking to your heart about, let God have his way. Let's put in practice what he's told us in his word, because God speaks to us and he always expects an action from us. So whatever that is, let God have his way. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. Ask that you'll bless us now. Help us, Lord, have a closer, deeper relationship with you. And I give you all the glory and honor and praise. We thank you for it. Help us this evening, this night, as we have services tonight, and even this morning as we're thinking about the things you talked to us about in Sunday school. God, help us that we may worship you and continue to worship you until you call us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let God have his way. Whatever he may be speaking to you about, let him have his way. Let's pray for one another.